We'd like to open our thoughts today with a very short little reading that comes out of the Herald magazine, and it comes from an article that was written almost 100 years ago, and is called "Enter Thou Into Thy Chambers." There's an affectionate tenderness about these words of our Heavenly Father, which helps us to realize His great love for His people and His special care over them. Through His prophet, taking the standpoint of the end of this age, He is forewarning us of a great time of trouble to come. A time of trouble such as was not since there was a nation, when the whole present order of things, civil, social, religious, shall be swept away. Yet in the midst of it all, He would have His people in rest and peace in Him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Our thoughts today, brethren, are, I feel, very timely of what's happening across the world, not just here in the U.S. and Canada, but all over the world. Birth pangs. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for other people. It will crush and put to an end all those kingdoms, but itself will endure forever. These words were spoken by the prophet Daniel over 2,626 years ago, are just now coming into play. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 24, we have very similar words which express this prophecy in the light of our day. When Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, His disciples asked Him, in referring to the end times, what would be the signs or evidences of these occurrences, they said. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." He continues in verse 21. "For then there will be a great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall." Jesus gives us this example of birth pangs, like a woman about to give birth, an example that many of us can relate to. Brethren, never in the history of the world, past and present, has mankind experienced the pandemic and fear that has overtaken the world. People all over the world are experiencing a common fear of sickness, plus of being locked in their homes. In parts of Europe, thousands of people have died in just weeks. In Psalms 91, David speaks of those who trust in the Lord. We'll start with verse 2. He says, "I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence." This word pestilence used here is from Strong's number 1698 and means any infectious diseases such as the bubonic plague or what we have here today that is described as COVID-19. Jesus himself refers to these same conditions we're experiencing today. In Luke 21, Jesus continues his warnings to the nation of Israel, which in reality is a reflection of the world today. And he says in verse 10, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes and in various places plagues and famines. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven." Let's examine this scripture. Do we see nations going against one another today? You know, brethren, there are over 40 active conflicts around the world at this very moment. While Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq are well known, there are many conflicts that don't get the media or policy attention of these wars. But the toll of decades-long conflicts from Colombia to Ogaden, from Kashmir to Western Sahara, is just as devastating for the people who live there. The number of people affected by humanitarian crises has almost doubled over the past decade. With climate change, population growth, volatile markets, water scarcity, sectarianism, and Muslim groups and extremists are pushing more communities to the edge. Two of the most dangerous potential conflicts are with the nation of China and North Korea, known as the Hermit Kingdom. Now, in regard to earthquakes, this is one that can be quite tricky. Let's examine some of these scriptures. We'll start with Zechariah, the 14th chapter and the 5th verse. And the prophet says, "And you will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee just as you did in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all his holy ones with him." Well, we recognize this, brethren. This valley of blessing would be a picture of God's kingdom. So we can see, because of the trouble coming on the earth, those who love God will flee to his protection. Jesus speaks of this condition in Matthew, the 24th chapter and verse 7, and we quote. Again, he says, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and there will be earthquakes." This usage of the word earthquakes in Matthew comes from the word number in Strong's of 4588, and it means to cause a commotion, or as it says in 4579, to throw into a fear, a tremor, or concern, which we certainly see today. Again, in Mark 13, verse 8, it says that this is only the beginning of birth pangs. In other words, brethren, society would be in a turmoil. Is that not what we see today? Now, as far as earthquakes in the literal sense goes, this is an interesting report by the British Geological Survey. We quote, "Earthquakes in populated places are far more noticed than the many that occur in remote regions. So when by chance a run of earthquakes hits population centers, it appears that the number of events has increased. Also, there are more people than ever in earthquake regions. So although the number of earthquakes remains the same, the impact of them increases." This is the same type of warning that we read about in Matthew 24. Happened in a foretelling in Israel in the days of Isaiah. And we read about this in Isaiah chapter 29. This is a picture of how the Lord will act in the last days against the enemies of Zion, his people. Let's start with verse 3. We quote, "And I will camp against you, encircling you, and I will set siege works against you, and I will raise up battle towers against you. Then you shall be brought low. From the earth you shall speak, and from the dust where you are prostrate. Your word shall come. Your voice shall be like that of a spirit from the ground, and your speech shall whisper from the dust. But the multitude of your enemies shall become like fine dust." And in verse 6, "From the Lord of hosts you will be punished with thunder and earthquakes, and loud noises with whirlwind or confusion, and tempest and the flame of a consuming fire." Unquote. So we're beginning to see that the birth pangs will be coming in many forms that will affect humanity in a very strong way. Today, many are fearful of their life. They are told to stay away from one another, to wear face coverings which are not normal. This separation from human contact is beginning to have an enormous downside. Psychologists and psychiatrists are beginning to observe that when the human touch is removed, that mental problems begin to appear. In some cases, even suicide becomes prevalent. People become a sheep to be directed, even if it's not to their advantage. In this case of fear, it is not implying reverence, but actual fear. There's a very interesting verse in the book of Revelation regarding this word prison. Revelation 2:10. John says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison that you may be tested." This word prison is very interesting. This word comes from Strong's 5442, and it means to be put into isolation. And that is what has happened to the world's population in general. They are being placed in isolation. In the past few months, there have been riots in most civilized cities. Buildings are burned. Stores are looted. People killed. No respect for law and order. Some municipalities have encouraged their citizens to spy on one another. If you are a Christian, you're in the crosshairs of this out-of-control society. Again, we read in Matthew 24 to check our safety barometer, starting with verse 9. "Then they will deliver you to tribulation," or it means anguish, "and will kill you and will be hated by all nations on account of my name." This is especially true for Israel, brethren. "And at that time, many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another," hence the spying on each other. We are living in a time of chaos, brethren. Ask anyone you meet on the street what they think of the world today, and I'm sure you'll not get a favorable reply. With all this world has to offer, and yet millions across the globe are starving to death, and some just praying for a cool drink of water rather than drinking from a mud puddle. The Lord has been gracious to me and allowed me to share this gospel in many countries across the world. When you complain that you don't have the latest fashion in clothing or designer shoes or even fashionable tennis shoes, let me remind you that in some places where I have been, that even some of the brethren only have one pair of very very worn shoes. Some don't even have doors and windows in their houses, which have dirt floors. The world of mankind is in a deplorable condition because of sin. In the case of material things, the story goes of one of our brethren, when visiting a third world country, exclaimed to a sister that she was so sorry that she possessed so little. And the local sister replied back to her that she was so sorry that she had so much. All the brethren that I know are so thankful to have the technology available to us today that we can still meet online such as now, since this lockdown began, and especially those of our brethren who in the past have not had that ability to travel can now enjoy many more conventions online than in the past. I remember as a child, my mother and my aunt, her sister, would talk into the wee hours of the morning about the truth. Often in their conversations, they would refer to how Brother Russell viewed the downfall and what would bring it about. It's interesting that his thinking back then is just as relevant about finances today as it was in his day. I'd like to quote to you some of his thoughts about finances and the world conditions. It comes from the Watchtower, 1908, reprint 4111. We quote, "We're not meaning to say that the banks of the country are not sound. No, quite to the contrary. They're very rich if their wealth be measured by the securities that they hold. It is our exception that the present stress will ere long be much relieved, but we do not expect to see as great prosperity as the past years have witnessed. Rather, that there will be a downgrade with repeated hitchings or spasms of trouble, in harmony with the apostles' illustrations that this trouble that is coming upon the world has travail upon a woman with child." Unquote. He was looking for the final spasm to happen in 1915, which we know did not. It was impossible for him to see the magnitude of the trouble coming upon the world today that we see. To continue, "What shall we do? Well, quite a good many are inquiring as to the wisest course in view of our expectations. If by this query is meant, how can it be escaped?" He's asking. He said, our reply is that it will be impossible to escape the coming trouble other than death. We see that the scriptures clearly emphasize there is no escape. Once again, we go to the scriptures to get our confirmation. And we'll refer you to the book of Amos in chapter 5. This prophecy from Amos was directed to Israel about 750 BC. Nevertheless, the conditions and results of all the disobedience will fall as recorded, not only to Israel, but to the whole world in the day of the Lord. We'll start with verse 18. The prophet says, "Alas, you who are longing for the day of the Lord, for what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you? It will be darkness and not light, as when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him, or he goes home and leans his hand against the wall and a snake bites him." In this parable, the prophet is teaching us that there is no escape from the wrath of God as the time approaches. 100 years ago, for all practical purposes, the finance world was a standalone item. However, today the banking system is completely tied together. If one country falls into bankruptcy, the entire system becomes shaky. Even 75 years ago or so, when Germany began to fail financially, its effect was a ripple effect all through Europe. About 20 years or so ago, Mexico found themselves underwater, so to speak, financially. The United States had to rush in and prop them up with a $40 million loan to prevent insolvency. The biggest bank collapse occurred with the fall of Lehman Brothers. The financial loss was so large, the Federal Reserve had to cover the losses, and the effects are still felt today. The one thing that seems to connect all the countries and all the nations of the world together in this day and age is money. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read some very interesting insight into this subject of money. In this reading, it does not say that money itself is bad, but the love of it. We'll quote verse 7. He says, "For we have brought nothing into this world, so we can't take anything out of it either. And if we have food and clothing with these things, we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang." The longing for it, they say, is as addictive as any drug possibly could be. Birth pangs. Within this past month, the United States has been plagued with riots from coast to coast. Buildings burned to the ground. Many looted. All in the name of protests. What are these people protesting? However, when they were arrested, were questioned where they were from, the majority were from distant locations. In other words, they were bussed in to cause havoc and mayhem. And we even find now today that they're being paid to protest. And if they cause destruction, they're paid even more. When one young girl was asked why she was participating, she said she wanted to see the cities burnt to the ground. If this doesn't sound like anarchy, I don't know what does. When we speak of the love of money, we're not necessarily speaking of the currency, but the amassing of any kind of wealth. Land, houses, gold, silver. Timothy speaks of difficult times to come. In his treatise of the second chapter, he speaks of the conditions that will precede the end times. And these verses, which we'll cite, are very, very familiar. Nevertheless, they are more relevant today than any time in the past. Why? Because these conditions exist the world over in our day. In the past, they were isolated spots on earth. Now, they cover the globe. Chapter 2, starting with verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. This times is translated as a special designated time. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. They'll be disobedient to parents. Boy, have we seen that. Ungrateful, unholy, and unloving. Irreconceivable, malicious, gossips, Sorry, folks, but Facebook promotes this without self-control. And it goes on. But the last description is the worst. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The following statistics are from the Trace magazine on gun violence continues amid the lockdowns. Between March and late April of 2020, the United States saw nearly 2,100 firearm deaths, a higher total in the same period in any of the past 3 years. This does not include murder by knifing or bludgeoning to death or strangling, for that matter. All of this is just in one country. Our quotation now comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 12, and we quote. Daniel says, "Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress such has never occurred since there was a nation." Unquote. Now bear in mind, these words of this prophecy were directed to the nation of Israel, but have a much broader application to the world in general. You can ask yourself, what stage of the birth pangs are we in? That's up to you to decide. Everyone's circumstances are different, as directed by our Lord. Brother Russell's advice in general would be to trust in the Lord and do good. Exercise faith and in the spirit of a sound mind. Remember the Lord's promise to care for all of those who are His and to make all things work together for their good. Remember that Romans 8:28. Reply upon this and show your faith by your calm, quiet demeanor in the midst of a troubled world. Concerning this present virus, there have been several more devastating viruses in the past. What is now different is that they are becoming closer to one another. Another fact is not brought to light is that the regular flu has not abated. According to the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, in the U.S. alone, you can expect in the neighborhood of 48,000 to 60,000 deaths contributed to the flu virus alone. And yet we never hear anything about the flu on national news. It's a miracle, isn't it? It's been healed. It's now taken over by the coronavirus. The adversary is running out of time and will try anything within the limits of his power to thwart the church being completed. We consider ourselves to be of the John class. We're the last to be tested for this prize of the high calling. We are considered to be the church described in Revelation as the church of Laodicea. And this is found in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. Because we have been born at the end of this age, we have many benefits the other saints did not possess. Here are the words to John as directed by our Lord Jesus. And he says, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, a martyr, the beginning of the creation of God, says this." This is Jesus speaking. "I know your deeds, your efforts, that you are neither cold or hot." In other words, he's saying your efforts to spread the gospel are pretty pathetic. Then he gets very specific. He says, "Because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold. He says, I will spit you out of my mouth. This word spit comes from Strong 1692, and I'm sorry to report to you, means to vomit. We believe the thought here is because you have not given it your all. The Lord will not have anything to do with you. And in this vein of thought, he goes on, he says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Brethren, we must consider these words from our Lord as they are directed to us at this end of the age. He is pleading with us to draw closer to him and to trust him come what may. These testings are coming as part of the birth pangs. He continues in his efforts to enrich you with his wisdom and his love. He says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. And this expression, buy from me, is explained by Brother Russell as buy at the cost of self-sacrifice. This treasure can only be purchased at the cost of our entire consecration, our sacrifice of all that we have to Christ. At the cost of faithful and constant submission to the discipline of the Lord, and in the fiery trials we will experience at the end of this age, at the expense of reputation and worldly interest. In verse 20, the Lord says, behold, he said, I stand at the door and knock. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens this door, I'll come in to him and I'll dine with him and he with me. As the apostle tells in his second book, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Thank the Lord. In the last two verses of this third chapter, Jesus tells us, he who overcomes, he says, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And he adds this, he says, who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Moreover, says to you, we have an extra trial put upon us with the virus and the lockdowns at this end of the age. We must not lose hope. We must persevere, for he is with us. For he said he would never, ever leave us. For this is but a moment of time, brethren. My dear brethren, the battle is long and hard fought. Some of us will toil for 70 or more years, and yet some of us will spend a much shorter time. It is when the Lord says, it is enough. The most blessed words we will ever hear are these. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds will follow them. Amen.